Hello, everybody, and welcome to another virtual online worship service here for Sanctuary Columbus. So good to be with you today. Before I jump into the message, let me say happy birthday to all of the summer babies, June, July, August. I don't think we've done happy birthday in a long time, and you know why I'm thinking about it, right? Because today, August 23rd, is my birthday. So happy birthday to me. Happy birthday to me. Happy birthday, you are so special. Yes, I am so special. Yes, I'm special. Happy birthday, everybody. God bless you. Let us know it's your birthday today in Facebook, YouTube, however you're watching this, so others can greet you as well. Well, this summer, 2020, has been a summer of highs and lows. Certainly a high today for me right now. My birthday, turning 44, is special because last year, August 13th, 2019, I had a collision on my bike while riding my bike with a car and was knocked out for about 20 minutes. Thanks be to God and the helmet. I'm here today living to tell about it. So I'm grateful. That's a super high today. It was also a high that our family got away for a week of vacation with extended family. And then Shalev and I got away for a few days without the kids in Chicagoland. It was beautiful. The low point for us was probably when we found out that Campbell has got a allergic reaction to dairy products. So pizza's cut out, cheeseburgers are cut out, ice cream is cut out, things that he loves. It was a super low point for him and us, quite frankly. It was also a low point for me in that I miss seeing my friends. Friends at church, friends outside of church, being able to hug and high five and embrace. Man, when I heard that Megan Bradford had stage 0 cancer, man, my heart just sunk, and I wanted to lay my hand on her shoulder and pray for her. But it's COVID-19, and there's all these restrictions and stuff we got to be mindful of and careful of. When Michael Hill told me that he was going in for knee surgery, man, I wanted to lay hands on him. But the distance has created a longing in my heart, one that when times like these, when we are physically distant from one another, I turn to the letters of Paul when he wrote to churches that he helped start when he was at a distance physically from them. He wrote how he longed to see them, how he cherished good thoughts about them, how he encouraged them, and he even prayed for them. Of the many prayers of Paul that I read, one stuck out to me in particular. Just one verse from Romans chapter 15, verse 13. It says this: I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the word of God. And the people say, thanks be to God. Let it fill our minds, flow from our mouths, and free our hearts to live as the beloved children of God. This is the prayer from Romans 15, 13 that I've been praying over the last couple of weeks for Sanctuary Columbus Church. This one verse is the focus of the series we're calling The Missing Ingredient. Now, spare me if you think it's cheesy or juvenile, okay? But I think it resonates with you already because you sense something is missing in your life too. Have you ever prepared a dish, a meal, or a dessert only to realize that after too late, you left out a vital ingredient in the recipe? Maybe you forgot the sugar in the cookies or the brownies. Maybe you left out the yeast in that loaf of bread. Maybe you forgot about adding that baking soda to the homemade fluffy pancakes that your children love on Saturday mornings. Everything seemed great until you took a bite into that cookie, that pancake, that, well, you could even see the bread. Something was wrong with it. You obviously left out a major ingredient. Wouldn't you say that sometimes in our lives, we have missing ingredients as well? There's some recipes in life that if you miss an ingredient, frankly, it leaves just a bad taste in your mouth. For example, there are recipes for a healthy marriage, right? There's recipes for a flourishing family. There are recipes for good health and a productive, fulfilling vocation. And now I hear you. I hear you. I hear you over there. You're saying, wait a minute, Pastor Rich. How do we go from God of justice to God of living your best life now? Well, I'm not saying that we're going there. I see how you would ask that question. That's pop religion, right? That's pop Christianity that focuses on keeping people happy rather than making them holy. That's not this series today. But to some degree or another, we can recognize we're missing out on some vital ingredients in our spiritual lives. And it's not that everything is out of whack. Maybe it's just a small ingredient here or there that could make a world of difference. The main idea for today is that God is my source and everything else is a resource. God is my source and everything else is a resource. Let me ask you this. What's the easiest place for you to recognize when something is missing in your life? Is it spiritually? Is that the easiest place for you to recognize when something is missing or that something is missing? Is it physically? You start to feel different physically and you notice something is off, you're missing something. Or how about relationally or emotionally? Do you feel like something is off in those particular areas? Which one are you able to recognize the easiest? I think all of us can point probably to a little bit of something in all four areas. There's something a little bit off and missing spiritually. You're not feeling quite connected to God. It's not feeling vibrant. You're not feeling joyful or peaceful or hopeful as Paul is praying and describing in this one verse of scripture. You know that you've tried everything, but nothing is seeming to make the difference to get you out of that rut. You're stuck right where you are. Or physically, you've learned that it's more than just eating the right foods. You've got to exercise too. But you've also learned it's not just eating the right foods and exercising. You also need rest. The body needs time to recover and recoup, something that frankly we don't all do very well, and something quite honestly is gone to the wayside for many of us during this Corona COVID-19 lockdown quarantine season. And so in our bodies, we know something is off. We're not resting if we're not resting well at all. Relationally, you know that something is off. You and a friend are just not, you're not clicking right now. You and that spouse, it just doesn't seem like y'all are on the same page. You and your coworkers are quite happy with the social distance Zoom thing right now because you couldn't stand to be around each other and you can't quite put your finger on it, or maybe you can and you just don't want to say. And it's just so hard. How do you figure out what is wrong? What's the missing ingredient? Or even emotionally, as you look and you see that even the brightest optimist right now is having a difficulty coming up with the energy to look forward to the next day or the next week. Anxiety and stress more easily define your life than joyfulness or happiness or satisfaction for that matter. What is the missing ingredient in your life? What's the missing ingredient? Chances are you maybe already have an idea of something that's missing. That if it was applied to your life, man, you would start to thrive just like that. Others of us, our taste buds are so underdeveloped, we can't even identify what's missing right now. We need some help. We need some guidance. We need somebody who knows what the food is supposed to taste like in order to tell us that something is missing. Well, let me suggest that for all of us, the main ingredient is God. And if we don't get God, we might as well forget about the whole meal, scrap the whole dessert. If you don't get God, you don't got nothing. Listen to the first five words of Romans 15:13 again. I pray that God, the source, okay? So it's six words. I pray that God, the source. And what is Paul saying that God is the source of? He's saying that God is the source of hope. He says that quite plainly right up front. But that God is also the source of joy. God is the source of peace. God is the source of our life that is overflowing into more joy through the power of the Holy Spirit. That God is the source for all of those things, and everything else is a resource. Paul is consistent about this theme as well. He doesn't just say this to the church in Rome. To the church in Corinth, he says this very similar words in the ESV version, 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 6. For there is one God. Read this with me. For there is one God, the Father, from whom are all things and for whom we exist, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we exist. One translation says it this way: there is one God, the Father, who is the source of all things. So for whom all things exist, that's the same thing as for all things are the source. They get their source. They get their starting point. They get their beginning. They get their meaningfulness out of God. And anything apart from God doesn't have quite the same meaning. Anything apart from God doesn't have the same source. Is God your source for all things? Is God your source for all things? After all, God, who made all things to give God praise and glory and adoration. God made all things to be in relationship with God. And God, when God made Adam and Eve, he made them special when he breathed life into them, not just air into their lungs, but life into them, life that he intended to get back in their work, in their praise, and in their adoration. This is the special thing about humanity that God created, is that God created us with a will and a choice to give our lives back to him. You see, God also has angels in heaven that he created, and those angels are made to do nothing but worship God day and night, night in and night out. And here's the words they sing over and over again that the scriptures tell us. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. They wake up, if they ever go to sleep, they wake up and they say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. After they eat, if they eat, they say this, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. From the beginning of time, from the beginning of before time, before the worlds were created, when there was nothing but the angels, they've been singing holy, holy, holy. As long and as old as the Ancient of Days, they've been singing holy, holy, holy. And we want to look for new worship songs every week, don't we? We want a new word every week, don't we? We want to sing something else that, you know, somebody else is singing on the radio or on the worship, you know, Spotify list. But these angels do nothing but worship God all day. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And yet God made you with the will and the choice and desires your praise and my praise back to God, who is the source of all things, for all things, and in all things. But we got to be aware of something here. In this pursuit of understanding what the missing ingredient in our lives is, that we be aware of some counterfeit recipes. Have you ever looked through a recipe book and spotted a photo of the perfect dish, the perfect meal? I mean, I don't follow recipes unless there's a picture right next to it. I don't care how many words there are, long or short. I don't care who the book is made by. If they don't have a picture of that bad boy, forget about it. Because I want that picture. In fact, I chose the recipe based off the picture, not the name or anything else. And how much in our lives do we get images in our heads and then we follow a recipe, but our meals don't turn out anything like the picture? Yeah, we had that picture of where our lives would be right now, and we followed the recipe, and your life don't look anywhere like the picture that you had in your mind. You said by this age you were going to do this. You said this is the way to get a relationship. This is how you get a job. This is how you make that financial increase in your life. You know, this is the way you make things happen, and you follow the recipe, and that none of it is looking like the picture that you had in your mind. That's because, brothers and sisters, would you consider that you had the wrong picture? You had a counterfeit picture. Maybe it was that you didn't follow the recipe, but maybe it was also that you followed the wrong picture. You said, I would be happy when I find Mr. Right. And you found Mr. Right, but he's ended up being Mr. Wrong. You said that you would feel good about yourself after you got that thing, that car, that piece of clothing, that house, that apartment, that condo, whatever, but you still feel a little empty. You said you'll finally feel complete when the parents apologize, and you've been doing everything you can to make them aware that they needed to apologize for that thing that they did to you. And finally, when the apology came, you still feel anger. You said that my spouse has got to change, and unless they change, I'm out of here. And whose picture are you looking at of the spouse to change into? You said, I won't feel lonely when I finally can have that child. All of these pictures are false associations that can lead us down a self-defeating path. And let's be clear, what's truly missing is not the picture, but it is the pursuit of the picture apart from God and God's self. These false associations are like false gods or false idols, known as idols of the heart, that start small and grow quite big. So, how do you identify those idols of the heart? Let me ask you this first, though. Is God your source for all things? If you can answer that honestly, then you'll be able to answer these questions honestly as well. What do you love? What do you put confidence in? And what do you fear? Three questions that help us identify the idols of our heart, the false pictures, the false narratives and stories that we chase after that end up leaving us empty and wanting more. An ingredient that we thought we should have had, but it's the wrong one. It's an alternative that is just a cheap substitute. You know, when you answer the question, what do you love? You answer it by asking yourself, what have I given my heart away to that's a created thing? Not the creator, but the created thing that you become addicted to, that you pursue with excessive energy, that you stay up late at night scrolling and looking for and longing for. Maybe when you finally get it, it still doesn't satisfy. The covetous person that we read throughout scripture is the one who loves the world, according to 1 John 2:15, and is called an idolater, according to Colossians 3:5 and Ephesians 5:5, that when we see these kind of things showing up in our lives, they are crowding out our source, which is to be God. There are three ways for you to dig a little deeper here in articulating your excessive longing for things other than God, when your contentment depends on them to the extent that you get upset when you don't have it, when your love for the created thing competes with your love for God, when what you crave in the world actually undermines the zeal of obeying God, and that it leads to compromise. And it leads to shortchanging yourself as well as God. What do you love? Secondly, what do you put your confidence in? Do you put your confidence in humans or human things? That's a form of idolatry. If we place our protection in humans and human things, in crowds, in the affirmation we get from crowds, in the stacks that we can keep in our bank accounts, then we're putting ourselves in the position of trusting those things before we are trusting God. If we are looking for our provision from anything outside of God, not as a resource, but as a source, it robs us of the fulfillment and the joy that comes from God alone, who is the provider of those things. And you can tell when some person's confidence is misplaced, because when trouble comes, it's the first thing they start to worry about and to reach for. Some of us have found ourselves in that place right now as things are being stripped away from us. We're reaching back for those things rather than reaching for God. And then last question, what do you fear? Probably the most harrowing question that a person can ask themselves and be honest about. What do you fear? Maybe it's a person, maybe it's an event or a circumstance, maybe it's the future, maybe it's the past catching up with you that you have not yet been honest or repentant about. Maybe it's putting that fear in things that are less fulfilling than God. These little idols become bigger idols if we don't name them, call them out, and replace them with God, who is the source of all things. That we don't become these people who are defined by the things. We don't allow those things to define us. It is God in Christ Jesus alone in whom we find our identity. And so as you ask yourself these questions, the list of things that can come up, even as a result of answering these questions, is exhaustive. This is just a start, right? Maybe you identify it's the world. There's a lust for the world. You love what the world has to offer, and it doesn't seem like what you have in Christ, in a relationship with Jesus, is enough. Maybe it's yourself. It's pride, you know, in yourself. Maybe it's your occupation or influential people, the people you follow that are dictating what you should do with your life and what is worth and valuable. How about politics? What a season of life right now, right? Where politics is trying to define us over and over again, creating fears in our lives and inviting us to put our confidence in a party or a person or a platform. Maybe it's your comforts in life, your money. How about this? Maybe you don't even think about this, but church can be something of an idol in your life. And church is a good thing, right? But if church becomes the thing, then it's taking the place of God. If church becomes the source and not the resource, it's stealing away your heart for God. I was actually talking with a pastor about this not too long ago as we were talking about regathering. And I told him that we're not in any rush to regather. We're taking the rest of 2020 to gather online, and we'll do some small groups here and there as much as people are willing. And he almost chastised me. It felt like a chastisement about, like, man, the Bible says we're supposed to gather together and don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. In the early church, gather together. And I'm like, man, bro, why are you so hard on the Sunday morning gathering? Jesus said, where there are two or three gather together, I'm right there in the midst of them. What an opportunity to gather with two or three for prayer, for a scripture reading, for a confession and repentance, for restoration, for service, that you don't need the gathering of 100 or 200 or 300 people. You don't even need the gathering of 25 or 30 or 40. All you need is where two or three are gathered together. There Jesus Christ is in the midst. Some people are rushing back into church ahead of time because they don't know how to get a hold of Jesus for themselves. Too dependent on the church, the preacher, the worship leader, the greeters at the door, the children's ministry workers, and so forth and so on. Oh, the list can go on, brothers and sisters. Sex, technology, and entertainment all can become idols of the heart, clamoring for our attention, begging for an offering of time and devotion. They want to be the source of your life, brothers and sisters. And they want us to give us as much as we will allow ourselves to give, trying to convince us that a little bit won't be too much to add into our lives. I was on social media not too long ago following this lady. Her name is Amanda. She does all this stuff about health education with regards to food. And she posted these two pictures side by side of ketchup made by Heinz. Heinz, you know, food network or whatever. And in the U.S. version, there are more ingredients than there are in the U.K. version. In the U.S. version, their first ingredient is tomato concentrate. Not tomatoes like there are in the U.K., tomato concentrate. Distilled vinegar, okay. In the U.K., they've got spirit vinegar, about the same thing, not too bad. Next one, in the U.S., high fructose corn syrup. And then right behind it, because, you know, high fructose corn syrup is not enough, they had to also add regular corn syrup, which is a cheap substitute for sugar. In the UK version, you just get straight up sugar. They both have salt and some kind of herbs and spices. But then at the very end, Heinz in the US also adds natural flavoring. Oh my gosh. And you should have seen the 600 or so comments on Instagram where people are fighting tooth and nail that the Heinz ketchup in the U.S. is so much better than the Heinz ketchup in the U.K. Now, I've traveled internationally, and I will confess, the U.S. Heinz ketchup is delicious. It's delicious. When you travel overseas, it's like ketchup is not the same because it's real, regular tomatoes and salt and sugar and some spices. No cheap substitutes. And people were fighting for the genetically manufactured synthetics and preferring them to the real thing. And they have conditioned themselves that their taste buds crave the artificial thing more than the real thing. How much more so in our spiritual lives, where we are accepting cheap substitutes that have a detrimental effect on our mental health, our emotional health, our spiritual health, our relational health, when we choose the cheap substitute rather than the real thing. God is the source, beloved. Everything else is a resource. And if we're not careful about the things that are being added into our lives, we will get a taste for the cheap thrill rather than the ultimate satisfaction. God wants us to have the ultimate satisfaction by getting more of God and more of God's presence and being defended against the things of the world that are trying to overtake our identities in Christ. In the Celtic monastic tradition, there is a prayer called the Larissa. It's a prayer of seeking protection that is known to be written by St. Patrick. It invokes the power of God to safeguard oneself against the darker forces. And maybe you've heard about or heard this prayer before. The biblical reference is to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14, which refers to putting on the breastplate of righteousness. For the Larissa is literally a shield of protection. Why don't you pray this prayer with me, if you would be so bold? Christ with me. Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ in me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ on my right, and Christ on my left. Christ when I lie down, Christ when I sit down, Christ when I rise, and Christ to shield me. Oh, what a prayer to pray. To tell yourself that God is my source. God is my source and God is my protection. How different would your day be, brothers and sisters, if you started by saying, God is my source. Before your feet hit the bed in the morning, you say those words, God is my source. When your kids start their first day of school tomorrow and you try to wonder about how you're going to do it at home on Zoom or send them to school with face masks and all of the other things in between, God is my source. When your work gets challenging, God is
my source. When you're faced with a difficult decision, God is my source. When you're about to have that tough conversation, God is my source. When facing temptations of all kinds, God, you are my source. When you get your arms around the declaration, the affirmation, the elevation, the revelation that God is your source, let it be known there is a shield around your heart and a helmet that is protecting your mind, and a belt that's holding you together with truth. And lo and behold, a spirit that is pushing you forward, because your source is in God and God is your source.
Let me close with these questions today for you. Questions for you to ask yourself, questions for you to sit with a friend or a spouse and maybe discuss these together as you identify the missing ingredient in your life. Number one, have you felt like something is missing in your spiritual life? Number two, can you identify what is missing? Number three, not a question, but an activity. Make a list of things you love, put your confidence in, and what you fear. That's three lists: what you love, what you put your confidence in, and what you fear. Number four, how do you know that God is your source for all things? And then number five, what prayer will you pray this week? Maybe it's that prayer from St. Patrick. Maybe it's just the word, God is my source. You breathe in, God, and you breathe out, is my source. And you breathe in, God, and you breathe out, is my source. And you breathe in, God, and you breathe out, is my source. May it be for us, church. This prayer prayed by Paul for the believers in Rome, that the God who is the source of hope, of joy, of peace, and of life be known to us. That is my prayer for you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen and amen. Hey, if you are not a follower of Jesus and you've been one of those folks who put their hope in things less than God, you put your confidence, your love, either things you fear, you've never been able to get over them, the anxiety continues to build up, the stress is unbearable, I want to encourage you today to consider putting your trust in God through Jesus Christ. The way you do that is you confess that you put your hope and your dreams and your ambitions and things less than God, and you turn towards God and you accept and receive God's Son, Jesus Christ, as the way forward. The way forward is through Jesus Christ. Jesus models for us the way to give ourselves to God and to make God the source of all things, who will be the source of hope and joy and peace. Jesus is the way. I want to invite you to consider that today. If you make that declaration, go to our website and fill out the connection card. We'd love to know that you made that commitment today. And if we can pray for you, believer, you can do that as well. Go to the connection card. We would love to pray for you and pray with you in this season. God is our source. Until next week, God bless you.